of Acts. Go ahead and turn to Acts chapter number 10, if you would. Acts chapter 10. And as we think about the book of Acts, again, the actions of the Holy Spirit is probably really what the title is. But we could also say it's the actions or the acts of the Lord's churches and His working in those churches. And one of the things that we see is that set them apart, if I could, from so many churches today, would be that they were filled with the Spirit of God. They were filled with the Spirit of God. They were led by the Spirit of God. We're about to see that here. We've seen it. We've already witnessed it as we've read through chapter 10. We've seen the Holy Spirit's workings. God cares about people. We know that God is no respecter of persons. And thank God for that. I mean, really, thank God for that. That, you know, right now, God is at work in somebody's life across the country who has a completely different culture than us, a completely different language than us, does not have the same material things that we have, lives a completely different lifestyle than we have, and God is at work in somebody's life just like that right now. And they could be thinking the same thing about us over here. God is at work in somebody's life like this. And I feel like sometimes we get so caught up in our American Christianity that we don't realize that God is a God of everybody. It's not just like, oh, this is the select Christians right here, or the ones in America. It's not like that at all. Remember, this is the attitude that the Jews had. And we need to realize that God is no respecter of persons, and He wants to see people saved. And He goes to great lengths to see people saved. The cross obviously being the greatest of those lengths. But even beyond that, His working in people's lives. His working in people's lives who many times we would think, if we knew everything about them, if we knew everything about Peter, we'd think he sure isn't that worthy to be used by God like he was. Yet God still used him. And I think we can get so down on ourselves sometimes because we're not the people that we should be. We're not everything that we should be. But can we say this? Thank God I'm not what I was. You should be able to say that. Maybe I'm not what I should be, but I want to thank God that I am not what I was. You should be able to say, thank you, God, that I am not what I was. And it's all because God is no respecter of persons, because He so loved the world. He loves you. He loves others. He loves others that were like you. Before you, the light of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ shined on you. When you were in your lost state, He loved you and He reached you. He used people to do it. He worked in your midst. He convicted you. His word came into your heart and it cut like a sword and convicted you. And He did all the things that we see here in chapter 10. He did that to reach you with the gospel. Whatever your circumstances were, God was at work in them. Working, using different people, different circumstances, all of that to bring you to see your need for Jesus Christ, to point you to Jesus Christ. God was doing that. And now you get to be on the other end of that. You get to be on the other side of that for somebody. Because God's no respecter of persons. He'll save anybody. But guess what? He'll use any saved person to reach somebody. He wants to use you. He wants to use you. God wants to use you. We're in Acts chapter number 10, verse 23. We've been going through this now as really God's trying to teach through Peter. He's trying to teach His church something about who can and can't be saved, who's worthy and who's not worthy. And really the quick answer is nobody's worthy. Okay, none of us are worthy for it, but we all need it. Amen. And it's available to anybody. Salvation's available to anybody, but He's really showing Peter, who was a Jew, that God's opened the door of the gospel for everybody. So verse 17, now while Peter doubted in himself what this vision which he had seen should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the gate. So the Holy Spirit tells him, hey, Peter, three men seek thee. and you need to go follow them. And then we're in verse 23. Then called he them in, Peter called them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow, Peter went away with them, and certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him. And the morrow after, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, "Stand up, I myself also am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, "Ye know how that it is unlawful, it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent ye have sent for me." And Cornelius said, "4 days ago I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon a tanner by the seaside, who when he cometh shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God," look at this, "to hear all things that are commanded thee of God." Father, we love you. We thank you for the word of God. Please help us, Lord. I pray, God, that you would use this message to challenge us, to convict us, to drive us, Lord, to be faithful witnesses for you, to bring people to you, Lord. God, help us to be the witnesses that we need to be, Lord. Help us, use us like you did these people in Acts, like Peter, others, Lord. It wasn't just him. There were so many you used that just as they went out, even because of persecution, they shared the word of God with people. Lord, help us to be that. Help us to be living testimonies, God, that are just telling others about you, that are seeking to be witnesses, Lord. Please just help us and work in our midst, Lord. Use us to reach souls, God. I pray you just set a fire in our hearts, Lord God, please, to share the gospel with others. Please, God, just set a spark, Lord, that can turn into just a raging inferno, Lord. Please, God, just help us to reach souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. There is a great responsibility that God has placed on you as his child. Every one of you, God has placed a great responsibility upon you. That responsibility is to share the gospel with the lost souls around you. That is a responsibility that is yours and yours alone. Because only you are going to run into people that you run into. Now you might say, well, me and you might run into the same people. We might, but we might not. And only you as God's representative are going to run into certain people. And you have a responsibility to share the gospel with them. Now, I'm not saying that every single person we need to be worried and beat ourselves up if we're not like sharing the gospel, witnessing to every single person we run into. I hope you get what I mean when I say this, is that we should be seeking opportunities for those people that are looking for God. Just like right here, Peter did not know that he was going to go to Cornelius, but he went up on the roof to pray. He went up on the roof to seek God. And that's what we need to be doing. That way, those people that you do run into that I never will, or that I run into that you never will, we'll be ready to talk to them. We'll be ready to point them to Jesus. Hey, you know, sometimes all it needs to be is, hey, why don't you come to church with me on Sunday? Why don't you come visit our church? Sometimes that's all it needs to be. And we're going to look at that. We see that that's what happened in some of this. That's what happened here, is that it wasn't that someone's always the one directly witnessing to them, but somebody brought others to the place where they could hear about Jesus. And sometimes that's all it needs to be. You might say, I've never shared the gospel with somebody. I don't know how to do that. I'm nervous to do that. I'm scared. Well, just invite them to church. And I pretty much every time I try to, maybe I miss it sometimes, but pretty much every time I notice a visitor in our services, I'll share the gospel. I try to do that every time that I notice a new face. I try to share the gospel because I know that may be the only time they're ever going to hear it. And if they've got a heart that's even soft enough to come to church, even if they're coming out of guilt or whatever the reason might be, people have a lot of reasons for coming to church. Hey, I came because I wanted to go eat food afterwards. That's why I started going to church. Okay, I did not have pure motives, but that's why I started going to church. So whatever the motive is, hey, their heart's soft enough to come to a place where they know they're at least going to hear about God. And they're expecting it. So if that's what you can do, then bring them. I mean, some of us, We've witnessed to our family so many times, it's, they don't want to hear it from us anymore, right? I mean, some of us have been there, right? We told them so many times, and it's like, okay, well, let me, will you come so someone else can tell you what I want to tell you, so you can hear that message that's needed. But we do have that responsibility. And one of the greatest needs that you have as a soul winner and that I have as a soul winner is our walk with God. And God forgive us, God forgive me for my walk not being what it should be. But that is one of the greatest needs that we have is our walk with God. And that's where that, I mentioned earlier, God, fill us with your Spirit. Lord, we need that. We need to be filled with the Spirit of God. And there's so much weird things about what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. And I've said this for years, and this is biblical, but it's very simple what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. You're yielded to God. That's it. You're yielded to God. What does that mean? Well, his word says that you do it. It's that simple. You are submissive to the Lord. That means you walk after the Spirit and not after the flesh. So a Spirit-filled person is going to say, God, what do you think about this? And they're going to go look at the Word of God. They're not going to make a decision on their own. They're not going to say, well, you know, I'm ignorant about this. I'm going to ignore what the Word of God says, and I'm going to just do what I want to do, and then I can claim ignorance. No, a Spirit-filled Christian is not going to do that. A Spirit-filled Christian is going to say, God, what does your Word say? And now I'm going to strive to do that. I might fail, but I'm going to try to do what your Word says because I want to be submissive. And that's what it means to be Spirit-filled, and that's what we need. That's what we need. And that's going to come with a walk with God, with our walk with God. And really, it's going to come with our Bible reading and our prayer. That's where it's going to come from. That's what we need. We have this responsibility and we want to be led by the Spirit of God. Don't you want to know when there's a lost soul around you that could be saved, that is ready and hungering and thirsting, and maybe they don't even know what they're looking for, but they're searching for something? Don't you want to know when that person's near you and the Holy Spirit says, hey, that's go talk to them. Give them a track. Invite them to church. Mention me. Just say something. Whatever it is, every situation's different. Don't you want to be used by God when that situation comes up and you could be the one to point that person to Jesus? Even if it's 3 years from now after you talk to them, but because of what you said, that helped point them to God. I can think back still to my wedding day, and I think back to something my uncle said, and this is, you know, so many people say something to you on your wedding day, and I don't even remember exactly what he said, but I remember him saying that, you know, something like, keep God close to you. Keep God close to you. Out of everyone that told me something on my wedding day, I don't remember anything anybody else said. That I do remember. That I do remember. And he had just gotten saved, or maybe a few years before that, 5-6 years before that. I remember that he had just gotten saved, and he was like, to me, I'm like, man, he's weird. He's going to church all the time. I mean, and he was. He was going to church all the time. He was different. I knew that, and I was just like, okay, whatever. That's his thing. And then we got married, and I remember him telling me that was right after the ceremony. We're standing out front of the church, you know, in the receiving line when everyone's walking out, and they're all congratulating you, and he said that, just keep God with you. Keep God with you. And it always stuck with me. I never lost that. And, you know, I don't know exactly if God used that, but I like to think he did, because I still remember it, and I didn't, you know, not remember it, if that's making any sense. Try not to ramble on here, but you could be that person to point somebody to Jesus Christ. You could be the one to lead them to him, to be able to share the gospel with them and them get saved in that moment. You could be that person. But it's crucial that we're filled with the Spirit of God, that we're yielded. I want to be in touch with God. I want to know when I want to be a part of that story when God is orchestrating everything to bring a soul, a sinner to salvation. I want to be instrumental in that. I want God to use me in that. I want to be his vessel, that he used one of them at least. I would like to be that. And I hope you would like to be that too. I hope you would strive to be one of those people. Here's the amazing thing. I love this. I know I just said all of that, but this is great. There's absolutely no pressure whatsoever on you to save the soul. There is zero pressure on you to save the soul. Zero. None. It's all on God. It is all on God. The Bible says salvation is of the Lord. It's all on Him. It's all on Him. But with it all being on Him, He's given us a responsibility. He saves the soul. But we're the messengers. We're the messengers. And I can't get past this. I've mentioned it probably for the last 3 weeks, I think. But I can't get past it. Is that God sends basically an angel to Cornelius and an angel to Peter, all with the purpose of connecting these two men. And I think, I'm like, that's strange. When God could have just told the angel, here, tell Cornelius this. This is what he needs to hear. And obviously reading through the story, like Cornelius is going to do it. I mean, this guy wants, he's trying to find God. He's searching for God. I mean, he wants to know what to do. I mean, his alms have come up in remembrance before God as a memorial before God. I mean, this guy wants to know God. And God could have had the angel tell him. But God didn't do that. God said, go send for this man. And at the same time he's doing this in Cornelius' life, then he shows up to Peter and he's like, hey, Peter, I've got a message for you. I'm trying to teach you something. That I am no respecter of persons. This attitude you've grown up with your whole life, this mentality that's gone on within the Jewish people for centuries, he says, it's not right. I'm trying to teach you something. So I need you to go tell this man. I need you to go deliver this message to this man. God didn't tell him what to say. Peter knew what to say. Christian, you know what to say. You know what to say. But the amazing thing is that God didn't just have the angel say it. He used one sinner to tell another sinner, a forgiven sinner, but it was two men, man to man, woman to woman, however you want to look at it. That's how God's decided to work. Now, salvation is all on Him, but we do have a responsibility. He's chosen to use us. He wants to use us. I mean, haven't you ever thought, well, after salvation, have you ever like just kind of start to have these thoughts like, why can't I just go to heaven? Why am I still here? I mean, I've thought stuff like that. I'm like, it'd be great to just go to heaven. I mean, wouldn't it? Like, that would be pretty awesome. Just like you get saved and poof, you're just gone. I mean, that'd be pretty cool. But then how would you have ever heard about it if that's what happened? Right? You wouldn't have heard about it. So why are we here then? Well, we know why we're here. You know, yes, to glorify God, but we're here. How do we give Him glory? By people getting saved. That's what glorifies Him. That's huge. So then we have to deliver that message. God has left us here to deliver that message, to tell others. All we have, our only responsibility is to bring people to Jesus. That's it. I mean, we just point people to Jesus. Even if you're the one that witnesses to them and you're the one that shares the gospel with them, all you're doing is saying, look, look, look at Jesus. Look at the Savior. Here's what He did. Look, look, that's all you're doing. If you're the one that actually shares the words with them, the gospel message, or if you just invite them to church and they come, all we're all doing is just saying, look, Jesus is over there, okay? We're just saying, look, look, that's all any of us are doing. Even as I get up here and preach, even though I believe everyone in here is saved, all I'm doing is saying, look, look at Jesus. That's what we're doing. We just look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. That's all it is. That's all we're doing. We're just pointing people to Jesus. When you encourage another brother or sister, when we serve one another, what are we doing? We're pointing people to Jesus. That's all we're doing. We just keep pointing people to Jesus. That's our responsibility in this life. Your responsibility in this life is to point people to Jesus. Oh my, could you imagine just living a whole life knowing somebody? Maybe you work with someone your whole life, but you never share Jesus with them. You never point them to Jesus. And I don't know if this is how it'll be or not, but on that day of judgment when they stand before God and God throws them into the lake of fire, I wonder if we get to be there and get to see that. And could you imagine them looking over at you and being like, why did you never tell me this? Well, I was embarrassed. I was ashamed. I didn't know what to say. Those really seem like empty excuses in a moment like that, won't they? The woman at the well, I love the story of the woman at the well. I love that story. John chapter 4, in case you're wondering, maybe you need to refresh your memory on it, but I love the story of the woman at the well because she meets Jesus. And what does she do? As soon as she finds out, boom, she's like, I'm gone. And she went and told everybody she knew. What'd she tell him? She gave her testimony. She basically said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Come on, you got to see him. She just brought people to Jesus. That was it. She didn't go through a class on sharing your faith. She didn't go through any of that. She just said, I know what he did for me. Come see this guy. Look what he can do for you. That was it. That's our responsibility. Salvation for anyone isn't found in your family connections, your position in society, or your race. It is only found in Jesus Christ. It's only found in Jesus Christ. Nothing outside of that. Salvation is only found in Jesus Christ. And I know that that's elementary to us. We know that. But do we lose sight of that? Do we forget that? Salvation is only in Jesus Christ. It's in none of this other. It's not in me being an American. It's not like they were in being Jews. It's nothing like that. It's not in my position at work or I mean, when we look to those things, and then what if we lose those things? Then what? What does that mean then? You know, we as humans, even if we seem to know different, we still want to practice a works-based salvation. We still want to live with that thought in our mind, and that's not what God wants for us. He says, I did it all. It's me. I'm the one that did it. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, your only responsibility is to look to Christ alone for salvation. If you're saved, your responsibility is to bring people to Jesus. Will you be a faithful witness for the Lord? Will you be responsible for bringing people to Jesus? Can you be responsible for bringing people to Jesus? And I know pretty much everyone in here has, you know, invited people to church, shared the gospel with people. But we don't get to sit back and just rest on that and say, well, I did it. No, it's continual. This is what the book of Acts is. We watched what they did, and they continued to do this. To where Paul at the end of his life said, I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. We see his whole life. And most of the book of Acts is taken up with the Apostle Paul's life and what he did. So will you be a faithful witness for the Lord? Again, I've said many times, especially lately, that Christianity is not measured in years, it's measured in decades. It's measured in decades. And I want you to just hold on to that. Just hold on to that because you might be going through a season where you're not everything you should be for Christ right now. And just remember that God helped me get through this because your Christianity is measured in decades, not in one season of life. Okay, in one season of life, Moses was a murderer. Okay. In one season of life, Noah was a drunk. Okay. In one season of life, David was an adulterer and a murderer. In one season of life, Samson was a fornicator. That didn't define them, though. That was just one season of life. Jonah, in one season of life, he was bitter. That didn't define him. That was just one season of life. Don't let your past mistakes hold you down. Don't let your current mistakes hold you back, hold you down. Okay, your Christianity is measured in decades. Okay, and that's why I've said there's much that we have to do, and I said earlier that, you know, we just need to be faithful witnesses, okay? But if I could say even beyond that, yes, that's a specific thing. We need to be a faithful witness. But what God wants for you overall is to just be faithful, just in general to everything here. We want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Just be faithful.
again, I so often mention this, but Moses' epitaph says that Moses, my servant, is dead. He was a servant. He was faithful, is what God's saying. And that's what God wants from you. That's what God wants from me, is to just be faithful. Can you be faithful? If you're faithful how God wants, then you will bring people to Jesus. But again, don't let maybe a bad season, a bad time right now, maybe a time of faithlessness, not trusting God like we should, don't let that define you. Don't let the devil, as he shoots his darts of doubt, don't let him bring you down. Just go back to God. Seek his face, seek his forgiveness. His mercies are new every morning. He said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is there for you. God loves you. He's for you. He's going to continue to work in you until the day of Jesus Christ. He'll keep doing that. He won't quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't let one season define you. I know it can be hard when you're struggling, when things don't seem right, when your walk with God isn't what it should be. I know it can seem hard, and you're like, I'm doing this alone. No one's with me. No one's for me. No one knows even what I'm going through. Everyone thinks I'm good, but I'm not. Whatever it may be, don't let that define you. Go to God and say, God, this is where I'm at. Help me. I need you. I need your help so that we can be in a position where God uses us, where God uses us to point people to Jesus. And you know, maybe through some of those struggles, and sometimes it can even be a period of depression for people. And I do believe that Christians can be depressed. I know some people think you can't, but they've never read the Psalms apparently. But anyway, you know, maybe it's a period of depression or something like that, but God can get you through that. Just keep taking just one step. Just keep taking a step. Just keep going forward. Keep seeking God. Don't let that season define you. Just keep serving the Lord. Keep trusting Him. Seek His face. Don't quit. God won't quit on you. And hey, you've got a support group here. I know it's hard to open up and say, I need help. None of us like to ask for help. No one does. No one likes to admit that I'm not strong enough to do this. No one likes to admit that. But here's the thing, is that none of us are strong enough to do it. Sometimes we need help. I know other times it's like, hey, I got this. Not in a proud way or anything like that. But we're like, things are going good. This is great. I'm all right. With God, I'm doing this. But you know, sometimes it's like, with God, I'm still a disaster. I need more help than that. I need some support. And that's why we're here. By love, serve one another. Right? Because people need help. Because people need help. And this is one of the reasons God sent the Holy Ghost to be our comforter. The Greek word is paraclete, and that means to come alongside and to help, to support, to exhort. That's what an exhorter is. That someone, you know, breaks their leg or something, you come alongside, you hold them up, you support them till they're strong enough to do it on their own. That's what we want to be for one another. And maybe that's what you need right now. Maybe you're in a season right where you're there right now. And I just want to encourage you, just keep serving God. Keep coming. Keep hearing the word of God. Keep spending time with God. And let God work in you. Don't let this world drown him out. Don't let, you know, the devil's darts of accusation, you know, hit you. Just say, no, you know, I have an advocate with the Father. I have an advocate. My sins are forgiven. I have a helper. I have the Holy Ghost. Don't let it bring you down. Just keep going forward. Keep serving God, so that you can be in a position where you can bring others. And through this circumstance, through the whatever you're going through, whatever you may be facing now, or whatever you faced in the past, you can use it in the future to help somebody else who's there. You could say, I have been there, and it's hard. I know, I understand. But I'm here. I want to help you in any way that I can. I want to be there for you. You know, our church has been through some things, and hopefully we have learned from them, and we can go forward in experience to help others, to not make some of the same mistakes, to, hey, because we're human, to make some new mistakes going forward. We'll do that. But hopefully we're all going forward, striving for the faith of the gospel, to reach others, to serve one another, to help others, and putting ourselves in a position where God, through His Spirit, can guide us to reach the next one, and the next one, and the next one, and all of us working together can reach people, can help people. You know, one thing I want said of this church is I want, when people walk in here, I want just a sweet spirit in this church. I want people to feel welcomed here. I want people to feel loved here. And we have to strive to cultivate that spirit when people come in here. We got to work at that. That means we got to get out of our comfort zone sometimes and go and engage with people more than just, hi, I'm glad you're here. And that's great. We want to do that. That's all part of it. But we have to go beyond that to really just make people feel welcomed, so that they walk in and they just, I want people to feel the Spirit of God when they come in here. And so that means we got to be filled with the Spirit of God. That God's at work when people come in, because, hey, when your lost family comes in, when your lost coworker comes in that you've been talking to for 6 months trying to get to come to church, or a year, maybe longer, don't you want the Spirit of God to be at work in this church? Don't you want them to feel welcomed? You want them to feel welcomed and cared for. You want your lost loved one to get saved. You want them to hear the gospel. You want them, hey, man, a lost person walks in here, I want them to come in and feel welcome, but man, I want conviction to hit them like a ton of bricks too. So they'll get saved. And that's what we want to cultivate in here. And we can only do that in as much as we're close to God, in as much as we are walking in fellowship with God. That's what's going to make the difference. And that's what's going to set us up to be in a position. This is all introduction, kind of for what we've seen some of it already, but for what we're about to see. And I'm not going to continue on, but for what we're going to see happens with Peter especially, and how Peter was used by God and the circumstances that he did. But all of this to say that God is no respecter of persons. Will you be a faithful witness for the Lord? I just want to leave us with that thought. Father, we love you.